Okay, good evening, all. Let's get cracking. This is sounds like something of an obscure topic. Kedera al gabei kedera, the notion of a hefsek kedera, the idea of having one pot stuck in between, let's say, another pot. So a pot separating the actual heat, the flame, the blech from whatever pot you want to heat up. Sounds like something of a contrived sort of case. We'll find that there is a lot to talk about here, and really touching upon, here's some more introduction, touching upon something that we've discussed. I think we've discussed in the past regarding reheating things on a blech. And at least if my memory serves me correctly, I'm going to make something, going to need to make something of a retraction, or at least a partial retraction, as we get to the very end of this particular section. Okay, so really a lot to discuss tonight, and I may have to jump off a little early also. So let's get down to business. Kedera al gabei kedera. Okay, so the idea here is one pot on top of another pot. Remember that taking a pot of food, even if it's completely cooked. So again, we're always ever mindful of two different wavelengths, two different issues. One is a question of genuine actual bishul. Are we actually performing bishul? Are we actually cooking food? Even once we have cleared that hurdle, there's then the secondary consideration of, even if I'm not actually cooking, is this perhaps mechzeh kimavashel? Is this what the Chachamim described as being something that looks like it's cooking, which would be problematic in of itself? So those are the two considerations that we always have to have in mind. Let's assume that there's no actual cooking taking place. So we have something that's already cooked, still a problem of putting that back onto, let's say, a blech or onto a stovetop into an oven, because of course it looks like cooking. It's mechzeh kemevashel when you utilize an appliance that otherwise is used for cooking. Nevertheless, mutter litein b'shabbos kedera ubot havshel karif. Let's say you have food that is cooked and cold. It would be mutter to place that on top of another pot. Va'afilu ochel she'enu mevashel. In this case, we're starting off really basic. Even when it comes to something that's not yet cooked, al gabei kedera she'al ha'esh, on top of another pot on top of the fire, kedei la'hafig hatzina mehem, in order to just sort of take the chill out. V'hu she'alalu lo yuchlu lehiskamim b'derech zu, kedei she'ayat ha'esh soled es bahem. If we're talking about liquids, remember that liquids can be recooked. Remember that yesh bishul achar bishul balach, that when it comes to liquid foods, when it comes to, let's say, soup, broth, and the like, once they have cooled down, even though they have already previously been cooked, that is considered to be a separate and secondary or additional further act of bishul. So you can't actually heat those things up. You cannot heat up liquids on Shabbos, even though they may already have been cooked previously. In this case, what we're talking about is, I have a pot on the stove, and the pot is in such a location and the heat is adjusted to such a degree, such a small degree, that I know that if I put this pot on top of the other one, maybe the pot is large enough, tall enough, high enough, that if I put this tin or this pot on top of the other pot, it might take the chill out. It might bring it up to room temperature more or less, but it certainly won't actually heat it up to Yad Soled Es. If I know with certainty that that's the case, it cannot become heated to Yad Soled Es. There is no way to violate any actual issue of bishul, then it's mutter. It's mutter because, again, in this case, you're not violating bishul. And there's also no problem of mechzeh kemevashel. Why is there no problem of mechzeh kemevashel? Because, very simply, nobody cooks like that. Nobody cooks things. You might warm something in this manner, but nobody actually cooks by taking one pot and sticking it on top of another pot in this manner, in this way. So therefore, this would be mutter to do on Shabbos, even with something that, again, in this case, really presently is in a state of what is considered halachically raw, liquids that are cold, and you would be not heating them up, actually, but you would just be taking the chill out. So it's not mevashel, it's not mechzeh mevashel, can't even be mechzeh mevashel, because you're putting it in a place where it couldn't even potentially reach Yad Soled Es bo. Everything here is totally mutter. Tavshel shulchan b'miktas. Let's say you have something that's partially warm, umevashel kol tzarcho, and it's also completely cooked. Odavar yavesh, or it's something dry, afilu hukar, even if it's cold piece of chicken, straight out of the refrigerator. So it's completely cooked. No problem, again, of actual bishul. You can't recook chicken once it's already been cooked. Afilu humukpa, even if it's frozen. So it's completely cold, even solidified, even frozen solid. Buhu mevushal kol tzarcho, so long as it is, again, cooked through and through, not a little like raw in the middle and now you bring it up to temperature and it'll complete the cooking process, but rather completely cooked through and through. Mutr l'hanicho agabe kaderisha al hayish. Again, you could put this on top of a pot as well. So you take a pouch of schnitzel, take a pouch of chicken, take a 9x13 tray of chicken or of rice or of kugel. It's already been cooked, even though it's cold now, straight out of the fridge. It's already been cooked, no problem with bishul. Again, putting it on top of a pot that's on the stove doesn't look like bishul. It's not mechsek mevashel. Who cooks like this? Who cooks by putting food on top of another pot? Even if it might get very, very hot, let it get very hot. Let it get piping hot. It's not actual bishul because, again, it was already cooked. So it was already cooked, no actual bishul. And further, there's no issue of nechse kemevashel here either. So far, so good.
I just have a question, Rabbi. Does it matter how hot the pot that's on the fire is? Because I'm thinking of like a crock pot with the flat top.
Right.
Those get pretty hot on top. Doesn't matter how hot that is when you're putting something on top of it.
It doesn't matter with respect to nechse kemevashel. It matters only with respect to the reality that if you're dealing with something that's not cooked, like liquids, and you put it on top of something that's really hot, it will be brought up to Yad Zaledes. So it's not a problem with respect to mechse kemevashel. It is a problem potentially with respect to actual bishul. We spoke about this a little bit. It's somewhat counterintuitive. We spoke about this a little bit when it came to electric hot plates, right? One setting, single setting hot plates, sort of counterintuitive. On the one hand, it does not pose a problem of nechze kemevashel, so the lesser issue is sort of solved, but it might actually be bishul. What I mean by counterintuitive is that on the one hand, we say that this is something that is fully capable of actually cooking food, and yet putting already cooked food on it doesn't constitute the appearance of cooking. Well, how does it not constitute the appearance of cooking if this is something that can legitimately be cooked on top of? So some poskim certainly don't take this approach, but those who do would argue that, sure, you could cook that way, much the same way that you could cook on top of, under a car hood, right? And there are actually such recipes that you can follow. Right, you tie up like a little foil pouch and you stick it under the hood right next to the engine. And yeah, it cooks over the course of your road trip, but that's not mechze kemevashel. It doesn't look like cooking. So you could have an actual scenario in which, yes, this might actually cook, but as long as you can rest assured that you're not actually cooking, then you also avoid the issue of mechze kemevashel. So if in your situation, it's not mechze kemevashel because nobody cooks this way. Oh, but you have devised a method of actually cooking this way. Well, that's something you have to be careful about with respect to bishul mamish. So if you're talking about, let's say, taking cold soup and heating it up, or even a cold cup of water, forgot to put the urn on. So you take a cold cup of water and you put it on top of the chalet pot, on top of that flat top crock pot. So if you could actually bring that water up to Yad Zaledes, that's a real problem of bishul. But it's not a problem with nechse kemevashel. It doesn't look like cooking, but in point of fact, you actually are cooking. So as long as what you're dealing with are foods that are already cooked, then no, there's no problem with nechse kemevashel, despite the fact that, yes, they get really, really hot. You could absolutely cook things on it. You crack an egg on top of that, on top of the crock pot, and yeah, it'll cook. Nevertheless, that's not the way people cook. It doesn't fall under the rubric, this Isser Derabanan of nechse kemevashel. Hope that clarifies.
Thank you. Yeah, and then just, I guess, one other question is there really any practical difference between heating something on top of another pot versus a hot plate, or are they essentially like the same, is it the same thing that you have to consider?
Yeah, we'll speak of them in the same capacity, although I'll just remind you that according to this sefer that we're actually learning, according to Shmir Shabbos Kilchus, according to Rav Neuwirth, really quoting from Rav Shlomo Zalman, using a single setting electric hot plate on Shabbos is actually not okay without a blech, meaning you'd still say that looks like bishul, and you should follow all of the same criteria as you would for an actual gas range or regular electric range in the kitchen. So for those of us who are making, when it comes to electric hot plates, it's because we say, no, it's not Mexican Lavashal. If you have an appliance that is completely, fully dedicated exclusively to warming things up and not really to cooking anything, then you're beyond the issue of nechse kemevashel. It doesn't look like you're cooking. You just have to make sure that you don't end up actually cooking anything on it. So same thing when it comes to a hefsek kedera or kedera agabe kedera. One pot on top of the other doesn't look like cooking, so there's no iser derabanan. There might though actually be an iser d'oraisa if you really do end up cooking. So yes, for our purposes, if you are accustomed to using an electric single setting hot plate on Shabbos directly from the fridge onto that hot plate, then we could speak about one pot on top of the other pot really in the same breath, in the same capacity. This just gives you maybe, you know, another option or an alternative.
Okay.
All right. We'll see that this notion of hefsek kedera, kedera gabe kedera, actually does generate, according to some poskim, more of a leniency that might be even more helpful. Potentially, we'll see that at the end. All right. Other questions? Good so far. All right. Okay. So let's check out Lamed Zayin. Kedera uba tavshil hamachil kamos gedola shel shuman karush. Something else to be concerned of. Let's say we have a pot of food and there is a large amount. What exactly is the line here? Not so clear, but if there is a collection, a significant accumulation of congealed fat, you can't put that on top of even a warm pot, meaning even if we're not afraid of, let's say, mechsek mevasho, and even if we're not even concerned about bishul mamish, meaning we're not afraid of it, let's say, heating up to a point even of yad saledes, we have a different consideration here. Shekin lechatchila asur lahashir davar b'shabbos. You can't really melt, you can't warm something on Shabbos, mishum iser nolad, because of the problem of nolad, meaning this congealed fat being turned from solid to liquid. You have another potential issue, or a similar potential issue when it comes to, let's say, melting ice on Shabbos. Speak about that another time. But here, where you take a collection of congealed fat, like when fat hardens on top of, let's say, gravy, meatball soup, that is a problem in of itself. That is a problem of nolad, of creating something new on Shabbos. And only in a scenario in which there's a real need, would there be reason to be megill. Now, in that instance, by the way, if the fat has really floated to the top and it is really independent of the actual gravy, you could remove that fat without it being, if it really is in a different layer, you could actually remove that fat without it being a problem of boer, and that should be done in advance of warming up whatever remains beneath. Bikol makom, nevertheless, im hifshir, if he did do so, ein iser b'achilas hashuman hamufshar. This fat that's now been warmed up, that's now been brought up to, let's say, room temperature so that it has melted, that's not problematic. Bidiyevet, once that's already happened, you could still use this pot in its entirety. The nintzabek there, but there's, let's say, only a little bit. Let's say there's a little bit of fat that's hardened on top, or a little bit of pieces of fat, bits of fat that have congealed over, let's say, pieces of chicken. She's ari besochat hashil, that it's going to become mixed up. It's not going to be especially noticeable. Miad im hasharu, as soon as they warm. So then less lumba, we don't have to be concerned if it's something that will become immediately mixed in. Again, we're talking about an accumulation, a collection, something that is going to be seen as an independent entity once it actually warms up. What exactly is the line in the sand? Hard to tell. If you're looking at a tray of chicken, and yeah, there are little flecks of congealed fat here and there, that's not something to be concerned about. But again, an accumulation, a real great deal of that fat that really should be dealt with before not only warming it up because of cooking, but before warming it up because of a possible issue of nolad, of creating something new.
Rabbi Bienenfeld.
Yeah.
Okay, because last week we talked about this and we said that you could put a tray of chicken on and didn't have to worry about taking off every piece of gel. So are you speaking here about just where there's enough that you would like serve gravy on the side, like that kind of thing?
I would say less than that. Meaning, if you're looking at the tray, and yeah, there might be little bits, but really, what you're going to be left with is still solid food. Is there, maybe there will be a little bit of a collection of, you know, once it's all melted and it all pulls together, maybe there will be a little something at the bottom of the tray. But basically, like if you're removing pieces of chicken from liquid and there's still a little bit that's remaining on the bottom of them, so that's not something to be concerned about. But I would say be a little bit more cautious than just so long as there isn't enough to then spoon out into a separate dish. But still without being too paranoid over getting every last globule of sauce or jelly. And really, those are two different issues. Right? One issue is an issue of, and also depending on the consistency, we may have one issue, we may have both issues. One issue, and what he's speaking about here, even bereft of the bishul issue, is the nolad issue, that you're creating sauce out of something that was a solid food. Potentially, if we're actually putting it onto a plata, we also have a bishul issue at hand. Not that that necessarily makes it better or worse, but just to be aware of what the different factors are. So try to remove it. Try to remove the solid from the liquid. But if you're looking at a pan that really is primarily solid food, and as it cooks and as it melts, it'll also start to, you know, maybe even sweat a little bit. There will be bits of moisture that are contained even within the actual solid food. There is going to be some pooling of liquid afterwards, but you want to try to get rid of it. I wouldn't just say, so long as it falls short of, I'm not serving it as its own, in its own separate dish, and almost as a separate dish, but you also don't have to make yourself too crazy.
And one other thing you said about removing the fat before you put it on, but wouldn't that be aser because you'd be taking out the bad from the bread?
Because of borer. So depending on what it looks like, if the fat is really congealed into its own independent layer, meaning something like what I have in mind is, let's say, like, chicken soup, meatballs. If it's really clearly independent of the sauce that's beneath, when something rises up as its own layer, independent of the rest of the mixture beneath, that's not really considered to be part of the mixture. That's not part of the actual taroves. It's not an act of boer because it's not part of the mixture to begin with. So you're correct. If we would say that this is part of the mixture, so then removing the bad from the good is problematic. Here, in this instance, it's really removed. It's separated itself from the rest of the mixture, and therefore it's not really part of the taroves to begin with. It wouldn't be an act of boer.
Okay, thank you.
That. Now, one example, which is a fascinating example. I mean, if there was anything that I could think of that wouldn't fit the bill of this principle, it would be the exact example that Rav Neuwirth gives. But he says, "Rotev shuregilim la'ochel gamshu karush." If you have something that has congealed, and you would eat it congealed as much as you would eat it once it's liquefied, then you don't have to be concerned about nolad because you haven't really created something that's completely new. It's in a slightly different form. But the example that he gives is kagon tsir dagim, right? Like fish sauce. Think like, you know, the jellied fish sauce in the gefilte fish jar. Like if there's anything that you would, you know, keep away, you wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. But at any rate, if that be the case, assuming this is something that you would eat even in a congealed state, so then mutal hafshira, you could even heat it, you could even warm it to a point where it liquefies. Okay. Now here is really where the rubber hits the road. Okay, so let's take a look at this next if very, very carefully. And again, we'll speak about I believe this came up in our conversations, and if I've led anybody astray, then my apologies, and you'll see what I mean in a couple of minutes here as this all starts to unfold. So you have two pots that stand on a fire. You have one on top of the other, okay, which is totally mutter. Now it sounds like what he's addressing is, at least initially, let's say this was done specifically before Shabbos. You're just stacking up a bunch of pots on the blech because you're going to serve everything that night. There are things that need to be kept very hot. There are things that don't need to be kept so hot. You only have so much space on the blech to begin with. So you put the layer of pots that need to be kept particularly hot on the bottom. And then you stack on top of those things that you just need to keep warm or can be lukewarm, and they'll be fine being on that top row further removed from the heat. Now, hisiras hatachtona. Let's see. Now, remove the bottom one. Lo yitena sa'aliyono b'mukoma shagabe ha'esh. You can't. Sorry, we're not even talking about with a blech here necessarily. So you have one pot on an actual flame. You have another pot that's on top of it. Now you want to remove the bottom pot. Can I just drop that top pot down directly on top of the fire? So he says, no, lo yitena sa'aliyono b'mukoma shagabe ha'esh b'shum ofen. That's not mutter at all. Gam im hatav shel shabba mevushal kol tzarcha. Even if the food that I have in that top pot is completely cooked, mevushal kol tzarcha, v'cham, and it's warm, kadesh hayatzel levispo. It's warm to the degree of Yad Soledes. It's warm to the degree that we would say halachically it is cooked. So even though it's warm, even though it's completely cooked, still I can't put it onto a fire on Shabbos. And don't tell me that it already was on the fire on Shabbos. It wasn't. It was removed from the fire. It was sitting on top of another pot. So if I've stacked these two pots on top of one another, I have one soup in the bottom and one soup in the top. Once I remove the bottom soup, I can't take the top pot, that top pot of soup, and put that down directly on the fire. Again, even though there's no bishul issue whatsoever, you're not cooking because the top pot, the contents of the top pot are already cooked. Still, you can't put it directly on the fire. Here's the next step. Even if the fire is actually covered. So even though there's a blech, even if they were already there from before Shabbos. So every possible, I don't know, chumrah, or every possible preparation, every possible checkbox you can imagine here is checked. This was all done from before Shabbos, and the fire itself is covered, and you want to drop it immediately down, and it's already completely cooked, and it's already fully hot. Nevertheless, you cannot take that top pot that was sitting on top of the other one and put it down directly on the fire when you remove the bottom pot, because you can't put a pot of food on the fire that wasn't already there. So what should you do? I want to keep the top pot hot. I don't want to take it off the blech yet. This is supposed to be my second course, or this is supposed to be, let's say, I don't have a crock pot. I have the blech. I had a pot of chicken soup on the block for Friday night. I had my chalent that I'm going to serve tomorrow, that in the interim, at least, I was keeping on top of the chicken soup. And my intention was that when I removed the chicken soup, then I would put the chalent down on the fire. And then I realized that I'm not sure I can do this. And I look it up, and lo and behold, I can't do that. Once I remove the chicken soup Friday night, I can't put the chalent directly on the fire. What am I supposed to do? The kid said, Yase, what should you do? So yanichena al gabi kadera acheres. Very simple. Just put it on top of the other pot. Right behind the chicken soup, you have another pot. You have, you have auxiliary chalent 46 or whatever. And you just put it on top of that one. That other pot that you have on the blech, just instead of putting the chalent directly onto the blech, put it on top of another pot. Yanichena al gabi kadera acheres al medis gamhi al gabi heish uvesocha tavshil. So just put it on top of another pot that has food in it. Now, ein lo kedera kazu. What if there is no other pot? What if there is no other pot that has food? Then, in that case, yaniach afilu b'Shabbos. You can place it even on Shabbos itself. You could put it kedera. You could place a kedera rekanis. You could put an empty pot, o tzalachas mateches, or let's say a metal plate agabe ha'esh. You take an empty pot. And you put the empty pot on top of the blech, and then you put your chalent on top of that empty pot. V'yaniach es hakadera aleha, and you leave that second pot, right, the pot that had been on the top story, on top of the chicken soup. I don't have any other pot to leave it on. I want to make sure that it stays on the blech. I want to make sure that it stays hot. What should you do? Leave it on top of this other pot. V'hu shetav shel shebesoch hakadera. As long as the cooked food that's inside of the pot, humavushal kol tzarcho v'gam cham b'miktas, as long as it's at least warm, as long as it's mavushal kol tzarcho and it's at least warm, so then that would be acceptable. Now, what was fascinating to me about this is that I never came across this. And it's not that I never came across this psak, and I was surprised to see that there are actually teeth to some degree that there's a mainstream suggestion about hefsek kedera with an empty pot. Classically, whenever anything that I've seen about hefsek kedera, about the idea of putting one pot on top of another pot, that was always in the context of that bottom pot actually having food in it. But if that bottom pot doesn't have food in it, that doesn't have any halachic bearing. That doesn't have any halachic status. And therefore, it's like you may as well just put it down directly on the blech. Now, this at first blush, at least, doesn't seem like this is just an outright heter to put something, let's say, from the fridge directly onto, let's say, an empty pot that's on the blech. If you want to take something that's cold, you want to take something out of the fridge, that has to go on top of something that actually has food in it. And he also gives this as something of a bidyeved, you know, really ideally you should have another pot of food and put the chalent pot on top of another pot that has food in it. If you don't have it, so then you could put it into an empty pot, as long as, again, as long as it's somewhat, it's mufashul kol tzarcho, and it's somewhat hot, and it's clear that this is just like a continued act of chazara, like you're returning to the fire, not that it's nesina lechatchila. That's what it sounds like, at least here, in Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. Nevertheless, I thought it was really eye-opening. I thought it was really, really remarkable to see that there is there's an approach that treats an empty pot, at least to some degree, in this capacity of hefsek kadera, that could be considered to be an actual effective barrier between the pot that you want to keep warm and the blech where you're not allowed to put that pot that has food. Take a look down here at the...
Are we only talking about when the upper pot has liquid?
Sorry, Dina, you mean for when it becomes usher to put it directly onto the blech? What...
Because if it was all dry, couldn't you put it on the blech?
So if it's all dry and it wasn't previously on the blech, then putting it on the blech would still be a problem, right? That would be meaning to place something that wasn't on the blech. When can you put something on a blech on Shabbos? When it was already there. So if it was already there, if it was already on the blech, then you remove it. You hold on to it, you have kavana that you're going to put it back, and then you actually put it back. But to put something onto a blech lechatchil on Shabbos, that we don't do. So now, what the reason why is because even if it's completely cooked, what does that solve? That solves the bishul issue. Doesn't solve the mechzei kemevashel issue. It looks like cooking because you are putting food onto a cooking appliance on Shabbos.
Okay, so it's blech versus like plata.
Correct. Putting it onto the plata, the mila of the plata. Again, I want to be careful. Not according to Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, but according to many other poskim, when you put something onto an electric single setting hot plate, that doesn't even look like bishul because you're using something that is a dedicated warming appliance. It's not a cooking appliance. It's a warming appliance, and therefore it wouldn't be problematic. It's exactly right. That's the difference between plata and blech.
So okay. I missed that nuance.
Okay. Yeah, so that's an important one. Now here, when we're dealing with a blech, yes, it is mutter to take something that wasn't on the blech and to put it on top of a pot on top of the blech. But the idea that it's mutter to put it on top of an empty pot that's on the blech, that seems like that's much more of a chiddush. Now, if you take a look down here in this footnote, Kuf Yud Beis. Here we go. So he brings a number of Mar Makomas, Vuhu Hadin, picking up at the, if you could see where the cursor is, Vuhu Hadin Delfiza Mutter Gam Lechatchila. It should be Mutter even Lechatchila from the very outset. Lahaniach B'Shabbos, to place on Shabbos, Tzalachas Hafucha. You take a plate and you overturn the plate, V'chadome Al Gabe Kira. You just overturn it onto the stove. K'she'ein Lo Kader Malei Atav Shel Gabe Ha'esh. Let's say you don't have another pot that's full of food. So just take a plate and invert it and just put or a pot and invert it and put it on the blech. Will haniach kadera alea and place a pot of food on top of that. But often she'ein bo mishum iser bishul in such a capacity, in such a manner, so long as there's no actual bishul that's taking place. And the reason why this would be okay is because kevin she'ein derech bishul bakach, because after all, that doesn't really look like bishul. Now, this is a little bit confusing for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons why this is confusing is it sounded like in the actual Sefer itself, and maybe this is still the context that he's referring to, even in this footnote, is that this is true if something has already been on the fire. Something was already on the fire, something already was on top of another pot, and it's warm, at least somewhat warm, and it's Mevashel Kol Tzarcho. All of those boxes have been checked. Then you could put it onto, let's say, an inverted plate or an inverted pan. But this may still, it's not so clear to me, this may still fall short, not certain, but this may still fall short, according to Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, of saying that you could take something out of the refrigerator and put it onto an inverted pan, onto the stove, directly onto the stove. This might not yet be quite arriving at that, although it sort of sounds like it from this footnote. Meaning this footnote, what he's saying is that, go back 1 second, that what he's careful about is kevon she'ein derech bishul b'kach, right? That since this isn't mechze, this isn't derech bishul, therefore there's no problem with mechze kamav hashel. Well, if you've solved the problem of mechze kamav hashel, and it's not actual bishul because the chicken is already cooked, I should be able to take it directly from the refrigerator. Take it from the refrigerator and put it onto the inverted pan. So that is like, that's, that to me was mind blowing. So I did some research. It's not so mind blowing, meaning it's not a lone opinion, as it turns out. And this is what I wanted to share. I wanted to sort of veer away from Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa for a minute, and or for a few minutes here for our remaining time together, and take a look at some other sources. So this is Rabbi Eider's Sefer, which is called, I think, Halachos of Shabbos. Yeah, Halachos of Shabbos. He was the first to write the English Sefer on Shabbos, so he could call it something as basic as the Halachos of Shabbos. So if you take a look, he's talking about reheating cold, dry food, and here's his example of Hefsek Kedera. These may be placed on top of a vessel which is on the fire or blech. So meaning if you have another vessel, right, if you have another pot that is on top of the blech, you can take something that's already cooked, a kugel, out of the fridge, let's say, and then you could put it on top of a pot that's already on the blech. You had your chelin pot on the blech overnight, take the kugel, even though it's not hot, and you could put that on top of the chelin. Gives examples onto a hot chelin pot, soup pot, or water kettle. All of his instances, all of the examples that he gives are with food in it to be heated. They may not be placed directly on the fire or blech, that is without the separation of another vessel. You need to have another vessel. Nor may they be placed inside a pot on the fire or blech. Similarly, they may not be heated in a double boiler. So they can be placed on top of a pot of food or a pot of water that's on the blech, but you can't put them into an empty vessel. That's not cool. That's not okay. That's Rav Eider. So let's make our way through the English Svarim. Rabbi Cohen in the Shabbos Kitchen talks about Kedera al Gabi Kedera, pot atop another pot. It is permissible to reheat a fully cooked food by placing it on top of a pot which is on the flame or blech. This is permitted only if the lower pot contains food. If that lower pot doesn't contain food, that has no halachic validity. That pot doesn't have any halachic status. Halacha recognizes with respect to Bishul, a pot that has contents in it as being a valid hefsek kedera, a barrier between the blech and the pot that you actually want to heat up. But if the pot is empty, it's meaningless. If the pot is empty, it's no different from the blech itself, and you can't put any food on it. So now, why is this, what is all of this predicated on? Predicated on the following. Let's see the actual Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see a Bir Halacha. So in the Shulchan Aruch, this is Siman Reishon on Gimel, all about reheating foods, heating up foods on Shabbos. Gimel. Hamashkin baboker. So he wakes up in the morning, v'rashik dicha tavshilo, and he sees, oh no, my food is burning. So I have my pot of food, my chalent, on top of the flame, on top of the stove, and I see that it's starting to burn. V'yarei penyach diach yoser, he's afraid maybe it'll burn even more. By the time I get home from shul, it's going to be completely burnt to a crisp. Yachol hasir l'haniach kedera yishana rekanis al pig hakira. I can take that pot of food that's already warm, already sitting on the stove. I could pick that up, put an empty pot on top of the stove, take the chalent pot and put it on top of the empty pot. Oh, so that you could do. Of course that you could do. Meaning this pot anyway was sitting directly on the stove. So for me to just remove it from the heat that much more, of course that's mutter. Of course that's something that you're allowed to do. Then I can take that pot and I put it on top of the empty pot. Vizahir, you want to be careful though. In the interim, when I'm moving that chalent pot around, I can't leave that chalent pot on the floor. If I leave it on the floor, then when I pick it up off the floor onto the empty pot, that's like putting it on brand new. It's like nasilna lichatchila. It's like putting it onto that empty pot from the very outset. You can't put even already cooked food onto a pot, onto an empty pot that's sitting on top of the stove. Halacha one in the Shulchan Aruch. Seems pretty clear that that's not mutter. If I can't take that hot pot and rest it on the floor, that's because by resting it on the floor, this is looked upon as being a brand new act of heating. It's nesina lechatchila. It's not just hachzar. It's not just returning. It's nesina lechatchila. I'm putting it on anew. I'm putting it on fresh, putting it on from the outset. And to do that, on top of an empty pot, apparently that is usser. If you fast forward, next page, we're skipping over a sif in between. Take a look at sif hey. Mutter lases al pika deres chamin b'shabbos tavshol shenizbashol me'erev shabbos kol tzarcha. You cooked something on erev shabbos, and it hasn't been sitting on the stove since then. It's been sitting. The Shulchan Aruch didn't have a refrigerator. It's just been sitting out. It's been sitting on the windowsill. It's been sitting outside. It's been sitting in our refrigerators. No problem. You want to rewarm that? Put it on top of a pot that's sitting on the fire. I can't put it directly on the fire, but I can put it on top of a pot that's on the fire. Kugon pandish v'chayotze b'hen v'chamaman. That I can do. I can warm them up. It's not a problem. Ain't derech bishul. It's not the way people cook. Since it's not the way people cook. Since it's not actual bishul, you're talking about cooked food. And it's not the way that people cook. It's not nechzeik and mevashal. It doesn't look like bishul either. So if we retreat backwards here a little bit, the bir halacha is bothered by this. The bir halacha, if you're unfamiliar, is a deeper dive into the halachos from the Mishnah Berurah. So written by the Chafetz Chaim, which wasn't written by the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, which was written by Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan, who wrote the Mishnah, who wrote Sefer Chafetz Chaim, among other works, and wrote the Mishnah Berurah, also wrote like a deeper dive into the halachos that's contained in the Bir Halacha. Sometimes more halachic, sometimes just more lamdush. So here what the Bir Halacha notes, he points out this problem. He says, I don't understand. In this, if in Gimel, the Mechaber says, I can't take a pot of food and put it on top of a pot. And then on Shabbos. And then in Sifei, he says, you can take a pot of food and you can put it on top of another pot. He says, I don't understand what's the difference between the two. And he says, pretty clearly. He says, I'll show you what the difference is. He quotes from the Prima Gadim. Achakach matzasi b'prima gadim. You see where the cursor here is, down at the bottom of this piece. Sheyishev zo hakasha b'tov tam. He answers this question beautifully. V'hu. If hey, what's the Mechaber talking about in Sifei? She'ayri ba'omedes agabe kaderes chamin otavshil. He's talking about taking my pot that I want to warm up and putting that on top of a pot that's already full with other contents and on the stove. I can take my kugel and put it on top of the chalent pot. The chalent pot sitting on the stove. The chalent pot obviously has chalent in it. It has food in it. It's mutter for me to take my kugel from the refrigerator and put it on top of the chalent pot. That's not considered like putting it on top of the stove. And therefore, mutter aflitin lechatchila b'shabbos. It would be mutter to do so even lechatchila. This isn't something that was ever sitting on the eish previously. The kugel hasn't been heated since Erev Shabbos when it was first baked. It hasn't been on the blech, on the stove, at all over Shabbos that you could put on the chalent pot directly. Masha Einkin, which is not the case, Binyanenu, in our case, in Sif Gimel, Shakadera Rekanis, here the pot is empty. V'yomedes rak listomes chom hakira. The reason why you put it on the blech is only to create a barrier, greater barrier between the fire and what you actually want to heat up. It's just supposed to be a greater barrier between the food. It's there basically just to conduct the heat, but it's serving as nothing but a barrier between the two. Shlogiya kol kachom, just so that it won't be so hot. So I had my kugel on the fire. It was an overnight kugel. I come down in the morning, I see it's getting too burnt too quickly. So then I can take the kugel off the blech, still hold it, put an empty pot there, and then put it back on. Nase sakira li deze rakisha arkira grufo kutuma. What do you say? The pot is basically just serving the same function as a blech itself, as whatever you would use to cover over a fire. That you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to put food onto that. That's not mutter. That's not okay. In our instance, in Sif Gimel, if you had the option of just taking the kugel and putting it onto a chalent pot that's been already sitting on the fire and it's full, it has actual food contents inside of it, then of course you can take a kugel right out of the fridge and do that. So according to the Bir Halacha, at least first blush, it sounds like that's the distinction. The distinction is, are we talking about a pot with food in it or a pot without food in it? Pot without food in it, just like putting on the blech. No difference between putting food onto the blech and putting food onto an empty pot. If you have a pot that has food in it, a chalent pot, then you can take something out of the fridge and put it on that directly. That's a very important distinction because according to that, let's say I have a blech and it's seated, situated on the stove, and I want to heat something up on Shabbos. Is it mutter for me to take, let's say, a tin, a pan, 9x13 pan, invert it and place it on that blech, and then put the kugel and chicken, schnitzel, vegetables, rice out of the fridge and put it on top of those inverted 9x13s on top of the on top of the blech? Sounds like, according to the Bir Halacha, no. And it sounds like that's what Rav Eider is saying. No, very simple. Just look at the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha says no. Rabbi Cohen says in his Sefer, Shabbos Kitchen, he says no, because take a look at the Bir Halacha. Here, though, is where the plot thickens. And I'll show it to you in, you see it in a number of, many, many quote this. And this is really even what the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is actually driving. You know, let's just go back to Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa for now. And you'll just believe me that many others discuss this. But let's take a look. So he says down here in this same footnote, Vishamati. Okay, this is in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So back to Rav Neuvert, who sounds like he's saying, yeah, lechatchila, take like that inverted pan and just invert it. Take that pan, empty pan, invert it, and then you could put food on it directly on Shabbos. That's what it sounds like, I think, anyway. So he says, Vishamati mipi chacham echad. He said, I heard from a chacham. Demashma, the davka, that he's talking about this Bir Halacha. Talking about the Bir Halacha, he's talking about the Prima Gadim that the Bir Halacha quotes, who says it sounds like the great distinction is, does the pot have food or not have food? If the pot doesn't have food, can't put anything on it for the first time on Shabbos. And yet Rav Neuvert is suggesting that maybe you can. So what's going on with that Bir Halacha? He says, the mashma. What's really evident from the Bir Halacha is the davke makader harikonis kvar amda mikodem al gabe hakira. The reason why that empty pot that's now situated on the stove is kedei listom es pi hatanur shelo yihya kol kach cham. The reason why I put the pot there is because I'm trying to tamper down the heat of the stove. So I'm putting the pan there in order to serve as a barrier between the actual flame and the pot that I want to heat up. V'rak az yesh lomar didina kedin sha'ar kira gorer fakatam. Then in what capacity is that pot serving? That pot is a blech. That pot is a blech, and it's usher for me to put food for the first time onto a blech on Shabbos. You need a barrier. You need something else. You need something else that separates. That's when it's usher. Aval, however, if the reason why you're putting down the 9x13 is just to show that, look, I'm doing something different. I'm cooking or I'm heating in a way that nobody would ever cook. Nobody would ever cook this way. You would just lower the flame. You wouldn't cook with so much heat. The idea that you're building this like Jenga tower on top of your blech, nobody cooks that way. And that's why I'm doing it. Not just because I'm trying to control the heat, but specifically to show that I'm cooking in an unusual fashion or heating in an unusual fashion. Then adif tvei, that's better than what the Bir Halach is talking about. That's better than what the Prima Gadim is talking about. Fashari l'chuli alma, everybody would say that that's mutter. Afshak kadeira rekanis, even though that pot is empty. V'imkein, and if so, hua dinami l'gabi tzlachas afucha. You could take an inverted pan. You could take an inverted 9x13, put it onto the blech and put it on. Effectively, meaning, if there's no blech, and this is made even more clear in the way that some others speak about it, Rabbi Ribiat, right? The Lamites Malachos, Rabbi Ribiat notes in the Sefer. I never noticed this before. Never seen this before. I don't think that he says, you know, really, if you're going to put food on top of a pot, that pot has to have food in it. He says, according to some poskim, even if the pot doesn't have any food in it, it's also mutter. That's a huge heter. That really is a very, very valuable. It's a really valuable heter. How comfortable is everybody with it? Maybe not so. But Rabbi Ribiak quotes it in the actual Sefer. And in the back, he discusses this same notion. Oh, the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha says, what do you mean? You can't put anything onto a pot that's empty. That's the whole distinction between those two seifim in the Shulchan Aruch. When there's food in the pot, you can put food on l'chatkila. When there's no food in the pot, no, you can't put food on from the outset. Only if the food was already on the stove. He says, yeah, that's because in that case, that pot is acting like a blech. The pot is there specifically just to serve as a heat barrier, really, between the flame and the actual food. But if you have a blech, and then on top of the blech, you also put an empty pot, so then it should be mutter, at least according to one wavelength. That's basically the argument that's made. Rabbi Cohen also either never saw or never noticed or never paid attention. I don't know. Sorry, I'm in the wrong document here. So Rabbi Cohen up here, here we go. Long footnote at the bottom here, quotes from Shevet Halevi. Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner, very, very serious posek, and B'nai Brak passed away a few years ago, who thought that you could say the same thing, that if there's a pot that's empty, if the pot is empty, it's very clear that it's not mechzeik mevashel. If you have a blech, if the empty pot is basically serving the same function as the blech and that it's covering the flame, so then you couldn't put any food on it directly. But if the flame was already covered, and you already have the blech, and then on top of the blech, you have another empty pot, then you should be able to put food on top of that empty pot afterwards. Saw in Piskei Tshuvos here, who just brings a collection of different Piskei Halacha. Maybe we'll end here. We'll end with this. Talks about this Bir Halacha. That's the subject here. And he says, Mavur medvar v'deha iser hu mishum sheheniyach esakadeh harikonis kedil chasos es ha'esh agabe hakira. He says, it's pretty clear. He says this is being maybe the more obvious approach in the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha is saying, you know, the problem is, you know why he says the Shulchan Aruch holds that you can't take already cooked food and put it on top of the pot? Because what the pot is doing, the function, the role that the pot is playing, the pot is there to tamper down the heat of the actual flame. If you already had a blech on top of the flame, then to take another empty pot on top of the blech, and then to put food on top of that, to take an inverted 9x13 on top of the blech, and then put food on top of that, yeah, mutar af lechatchila. Even lechatchila would be mutar l'hanich kader reikonis agabi pach, l'hashos alav tavshel b'shabbos. Even on Shabbos, sure, take something that's already cooked and put it on top of that inverted 9x13 on top of a blech. Sure, that's mutter. Afshe tischamim harbe, even though it might warm up greatly. Kamosha mutter l'hashos agabe kedera im tavshil kimavoar bebir halacha. Just as it would be mutter to put it on top of a pot with food, even though it might get very hot. That is one approach. He quotes from, who's he quoting from here? Shot shibole aleket. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. Shibole aleket. Shevet Halevi, right? That's the Shevet Halevi that Rabbi Cohen quotes in the Shabbos kitchen. Shevet Halevi of Rav Vosner, of Shmuel Vosner. He says, however, if yesh cholkim, others disagree. The Osrim, and they say that, no, it's Osr, the Kedera Reikonis betela lagabe hakira. Kedera Reikonis, an empty pot is meaningless. An empty pot has no halachic status. Only a pot with food has halachic status on Shabbos. The pot that's empty, it's just a deeper piece of metal than the blech itself. It's the same thing as the blech. He can't put food onto a blech on Shabbos. Vahavi kekisa hakira, it's like two blechs on top of each other. The vade aser hashikil lechatchila, the shiny mikader shetavshel b'socha. Very, very different from a chalon pot where there's food inside. Shaf ba'ofens mani eina betela lahakira ela lahatavshel shet b'socha. We look at that pot as serving the purpose of the food inside of it. It's really not serving the same function as the actual blech itself. So here you have two different opinions. I think we've spoken about this before. I'm not sure. If we did, then I certainly dismissed out of hand the possibility of having just an empty inverted or empty kli on top of a blech as being legitimate to rewarm food that was cold straight out of the refrigerator. In that capacity, I was absolutely wrong. Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner, it sounds, I'm not completely convinced that Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is quite giving the same heter, but certainly the Shevet Halevi, certainly Rav Vosner is. And that's a very, very significant psak. Should certainly be noted that many argue, and many assume that no, the Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Halacha, you have to take it at face value. The Bir Halacha is differentiating between an empty pot and a full pot. And that's the only distinction that matters. And an empty pot has no halachic status, and therefore you cannot put anything on top of an empty pot. On the one hand, I would say, listen, just go the route of using an electric hot plate. But let's remember, using an electric hot plate was not really to the liking of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. I do think that more and more and more, the electric hot plate has become accepted as being something that does not violate Mechzeik HaMevashel, is not looked upon as being an actual act or an appliance that could be used for real cooking. It's looked at as being a heating appliance. No merci, comme vachel issues. If you ask me, that seems to be the better route to go. But I did want to point out that certainly there is substance to this notion, at least according to some poskim, of having a completely empty pot that you then put food on right out of the fridge. Any questions, Chevra?
Yeah, I have a question. For those that hold that you can have an empty pot on the blech and then put cold food on top of that to heat it up, does that empty pot or pan have to be there from before Shabbos?
Nope.
No, you could put something there.
Put something on Shabbos according to that. Right. And the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus said so explicitly. He said, even on Shabbos, you could take something, invert it, put it there, and then put food on it afterwards.
But then,
and that's even if the food is cold,
correct.
Talking about when you're transferring it from on top of one pot.
Even if the food is cold. Again, according to that opinion. That would be according to the Sheva Talevi, he would say so. According to some other poskim, seemingly not. We would take a prima gadim at face value and say that an empty pot has no halachic standing. And putting food on top of an empty pot is the same thing as putting food on top of a blech, which is asur on Shabbos. But according to this approach, even on Shabbos itself, you could take the 9x13, you could invert it, you could put it there, and you could then put food on it afterwards.
Okay. It's revolutionary to me.
It's
never heard that before.
I have to tell you, it's revolutionary to me also. And I also have to tell you that I've seen a lot of this before, and it just never either it never registered, or frankly, you know, when you're looking through like the Shabbos kitchen, you know, who has time for a footnote? Look at a footnote, Azoy. Oh, what a footnote it is. But he basically is just quoting from the Sheva Talevi, from Rav Osner, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I wouldn't say if this isn't something that you've already been doing, I wouldn't say that this should be the week that you start. It's something that's worthwhile to sort of like keep in the back of your mind. If it's not something you usually do, I wouldn't say to be makil and to start doing it, especially if you are equipped with, let's say, an electric hot plate and that's already been your approach. But it is an important sort of like back pocket opinion to be aware of, shasa d'chak and things like that.
Rabbi, so I'm a platzer user, but if something happened that I had to use a blech, are these issues because you're putting the food directly over the fire of the one burner you have going on the blech? You know, what if I have the back left corner is where it's on, and I'm just taking my kugel out and putting it on the front right, where, you know, it'll get a little bit of warmth, but it's really... it's not hot, because I don't have a hot fire underneath the back left corner, at what have you. So all these issues, are you talking because you're putting it directly over the area of the blech where the fire is, or unrelated to the direction of the, because the plot is just the whole, I mean, the blech is the whole blech.
Yeah, I believe that that's the case. That once it's on the blech, that in terms of shifting things around, once it's on the blech from above the fire, off the fire, things like that, that becomes there. There's more latitude, but putting something on the blech, even at a spot that is less that's not directly over the fire, to do so lechatchila on Shabbos would still be a problem. Putting it next to the blech would be okay if you're just trying to, let's say, get the chill out.
Right. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, everyone, thanks so much for hopping on, and wishing everybody a very, very good night. As long as you're on, I'll make the pitch for tomorrow night's shiur. Going to be discussing Kol Do Di Do Fake, which if you've never read, I included a link. You could take a look, at least sort of skim through, but I'll give something of an overview and discuss a really, really just fascinating and really important work. It's as relevant today as it ever was when the Rav first gave the address and then developed it into a work about about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in bringing about the phenomenon, the reality of the state of Israel, and something that we should very much take stock of and we should give thanks for. And Mirtz Hashem, looking forward to a really interesting conversation tomorrow night. That'll be at 8:30. Zoom link has gone out. It'll be going out again tomorrow night. Have a wonderful night, everybody. Be well.
Good night. Dad. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.